Maybe want to share as well Romans 4, verse 20 to 22. No unbelief made him, this is Abram, waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And just this morning when I woke up, I read this scripture, and I really, it just was confirmed to me a few times now, but just the, that this unbelief that is wanting to cause you not to believe in the promises of God. And I believe this is just something that we must take hold of, the promises of God, believing that God is good and His goodness is forever, and that His heart is for us. It's not against us. That God wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. He wants good things in our lives for each one of us. I really believe that the devil wants to bring unbelief over us, that we cannot, that we will not, that we'll start thinking it's not for me, that it can't happen for me. And I just believe God wants to set it right in us, and that He really wants to give us hope, because God is hope. God is good, and God's goodness endures forever. I just want to pray. God, we thank You, Lord, that You are amazing, that You're a good God, Lord, that You're full of love, God, full of mercy. And God, I thank You, Lord, that, Lord, Your Word says that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard and our heart can't imagine, Lord, the goodness that You have for us, Lord, what You have installed for us, God. And but, Lord, we understand one thing, God. It's not about where we go, Lord, or where I go, but it's where You want to take us, Lord. Because we are family, Lord God. And Your purposes is not for individuals, Lord. Your purposes is for families, God. And Lord, I pray and I bring just my heart before You, God, that we will walk in humbleness before You, understanding that You are not, there's no partiality in You, God, that Your purpose is so much bigger, Lord, than what we can ever imagine, Lord, that we will not walk in a place of it's me and I and my goals and my ministry and my mission and my jobs, but really walk in a place that it's us, it's our Father, we are family, that we go to places, God, that we know that we are one, we are the Christ, we are the church, Lord, we are the body of Christ, and we are united with You in Christ, Lord. And I really pray, God, that in this time, Lord, that You will come and do renewal of our minds, Lord, healing of our hearts, God, that we can walk in the fullness of what You have called us for. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm still stuck in Ephesians 5, but I've now moved to Ephesians 6 as well. And it feels to me that I've been preaching to myself, and I started off this sermon series a month ago, and then I had the privilege of preaching at where silver and gold became one, and it was a continuation, really. So you must ask them if you want to know what I said, but it's just what I'm seeing in Ephesians, I'm seeing in for families, and something that I just said this morning is that I can imagine that many people, when we talk about family, they go, and they just don't want to be here, because they don't want to hear this, because they don't want to be disappointed. But I just want to say this scripture here, I believe this is God's heart for us, for all of us. And whatever we ask in His name, what is according to His will, we will get. This is what I truly, truly believe with all my heart. If I miss it, I'm sorry, but this one I believe I don't. I really believe this is God's heart to bless. It's God's heart to see us together. And I'm going to maybe share a bit, but it was more for this morning. But what I can see is almost like the enemy wants to separate us away from family. He wants to push us away, that we stand on that side, that we can be taken out. And it, you know, when you watch these documentaries on wildlife, and the lions come, they always go for the weaker one, and they run behind them until one gets weak and it gets tired and it jumps on the one who's tired, who gets separated. And I must be honest with you, I felt I was almost taken out because I got so tired. I couldn't run anymore. And it was like, it was almost there. And I just know now that we need one another. We need family, and church is family. We are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to be together. And, you know, on Friday morning was probably one of my best intercessions in a long time. Me and Johannes were talking afterwards, and we were just praying about the stranger. And I know that's going to be my next sermon, die vreemdeling, enkeling. Wat is die girl wat het sing nou weer? Lorika Raag. You won't know that. It's like P.W. Boeta. And, but that even that stranger is family. So we all become family. And when we come into church, that, and what I'm starting to understand is our mindsets must change, that it's not my left and my right hand anymore standing next to me, but it's everybody standing next to me. We all get drawn in. And someone had a picture of a wall of fire, but there's a gate, and everyone is looking at the gate like this, but the gate is so that people can come in. And this is the heart of God, for that stranger to come in, to feel part of this family. I really believe that is the heart of God. And so I just want to start off with, because many people were talking about how do you meet the right one, and that. But I just want to give you just the spiritual principles for marriage. And Ephesians 5 starts off where it talks about love, and we must imitate God as we imitate Christ. And it talks about all the sins that we must avoid. And then it says we must be led by the Spirit of God. Then it says we must submit to one another. And then it starts off with wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, you the head of the wife, lay down your lives, and love your wives as Christ loved the church, so that she can be cleansed by the washing of water with the word. And because the wife represents the church, and the love of Christ turns people to Christ, and we are to represent it. I'm going to talk about that a little bit now as well. And then I come to verse 31, Ephesians 5 verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this is what I shared with Brad and Leandri, Miss Silver becoming Mrs. Gold, and that God takes two people and He brings them together and they become one flesh. God is one, but He consists out of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and He brings us together as one. And you know, I always used to look at the roles, and I must be the leader, and my wife must submit to me, and now she's not making me coffee, and I'm getting upset because she's not submitting to my leadership. But I was missing it completely, because God wants us to be one flesh. And I must do what is good for us. And Lynette must do what's good for us. And not what's good for her or what is good for me. But we must do what's good for us together. And this is where I believe God wants us to have a picture of unity, of coming together as one. And when the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. I just shared it this morning as well. I'm just going to share a little bit what I shared this morning for those that came here. From next week onwards, we're going to have different preachers in the mornings and in the evenings as well. I just want to know that you, if you want to come to us, you won't hear the same message. But I believe this is why we shouldn't get married to an unbeliever. Because you're becoming one with an unbeliever. You're yoking then with sin. You're becoming one with sin. If you are a believer, there's no more sin in you, because you've been made new by Christ. You're becoming one. And this is where I think many people make the mistake, and I see them coming in, and they believe they married this unbelieving guy, and they believe they can change him, and eventually they like fall away. And they're not in church anymore. because they believe they can change this person with all their hearts. They knew they are going to change this person. And I don't believe we can change a person. It's only God that can change a person. And this becoming one that I'm seeing is that verse at Symphonio, that we two agree about anything in this world. They will ask whatever they want and it will be given to them. We can start prayer groups and SMS one another and have the whole country praying. We will not have breakthrough. Because agreement. God says, I just need two. Whatever two or three agrees, you can ask me that and I'll give it to you. But now we SMS the whole world and we tell them and we put our heart out there and this one talks against you and that one talks against you and this one. And this massive division. And the enemy laughs because he wants us to be divided, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. God wants marriage to come together as one, husband and wife to become one, because in that place we can call in the kingdom of God. And I believe this is what we are called as believers to become, because verse 32 says, this marriage, this is a mystery and it's profound. It's profound. And it refers to Christ and the church. And just a little bit, when I spoke about to them, to Brad and Leandri, like silver and gold coming together, and the whole thing about truth and grace. And I said, Brad is truth, and Leandri is grace. And but you, a plane can only fly. Which wing is more important? Both. You can't use one wing and not have the other wing. So grace and truth, you need both. It's like which railway line is more important, the left one or the right one? Which Bremer is more important, the red left one or the right one? You need both to be twins. And so I really believe there's this principle where we become one flesh. And what I'm seeing is, and what I try to share with them, at their wedding ceremony as well, is Mary and Magdalene. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and Magdalene got distracted with much serving and she was upset with the Lord, with her sister, and she came to the Lord and she said, you are anxious about many things, but you're not focusing on what you should focus for. And the same with John and Peter. And where's Lisa? No, she's not here. But now I know why we one, because God is building His church on this rock, who is Peter. Did you see that big guy? His name is Peter. On this rock, Jesus will build, and the gates of hell will not prevail, with the rugby yesterday, and then a little bit help from a friend on this side. Yes, you should have seen this game yesterday, Brad. It was amazing. He talks a good game, but he plays a good game as well. I'm never going to tease him about dancing ever in my life again. I'm too afraid of Nikku now. I chirped him from the side and the guys warned me, please don't chirp this guy, he might hit you. But I'm going to go I'm preaching in 2 weeks from now at JJ's church, Nikku, and I'm going to preach on unforgiveness. Do you want to come with me? So that was amazing. I'm getting distracted now, but yesterday was really awesome, guys. It was awesome. It was so good. It was just so good to see. And I think the netball we should have won. You guys played really, really well. I'm sorry I wasn't there for the hockey. I got distracted with a friend that I haven't seen for 26 years. And it was just so awesome. He was a naughty guy. And he's just so filled with the Spirit of God now. It's awesome to see how he goes on missions and he prays for people and people getting healed. It was just amazing. He's a farmer. He got divorced. And when he got divorced, his life fell apart. He lost everything that he had. His wife left him for a very, very rich man. And then within the year, that man got liquidated. He was a multimillionaire. Now his ex-wife got nothing. And he was living in a little room. And God restored him wonderfully. He's got a wonderful girl. He's my age and she's 29 years old. I thought, wow, go boy, that's awesome. I'm proud of him. But they live for Christ, you know. So I really believe wherever you are, God can turn anything around. You know, God can turn any situation around to the glory of His name. So where was I? Silver and gold have I none. Stand up and walk. So God comes together and He brings opposites. Oh yes, Peter and John. And Peter and John, there's this rivalry between them. John writes about Peter, all the mistakes that he has made. He doesn't tell them how Peter walked on water, but he tells how Peter cut off the ear of that slave and how Jesus had to heal him. He shows all the mistakes, and he says, you know, that we were running to the tomb, and I got there first, and then Peter, but Peter went in first. And then he says, when Jesus came to restore them, he says, Peter, do you love me? Tend to my sheep. And then he says, but you will die with your hands tied behind your back. And then Peter said, but what about him? You know, how is he going to die? So you can see there's this rivalry between the two of them. But in Acts 3, they are filled with the Spirit of God. God's Spirit came over them. They are going to the temple to go and pray. And they see this lamb guy there. And now they pray for him. And this is what I shared with them. Silver and gold have I none, but stand up and walk. And they come together because they got united in the Spirit of God. And this is what I believe God wants to take opposites and bring them together as one. That because my weakness is Lynette's, all Lynette's strengths are my weaknesses. And all her strengths or her weaknesses, I'm good at it again. It comes naturally to me. So we can sit together and my weakness gets absorbed in her strengths because we become one. And this is where I really believe God wants to bless us in that area. So marriage is to represent our relationship with God. And what I was sharing, what I'm just realizing now is, you know, when you have children, Brad, you will not know this now, but there comes a time when you actually argue with your wife. It's weird. But it normally happens just after you have kids because you sleep none. You don't sleep. So you get very tired. And you know, in medic clinic, I used to go and lie on the toilet roll like this just to sleep for like 2 minutes just so that I can keep my eyes open. So when you get very irritable and all the flesh in you gets taken out, so you are very, very tired. You start arguing and you start working against one another. But now we would start giving one another instructions. If you do this and that and this thing and that thing, and I'll do this thing and this thing and that thing, then, you know, we will work well together. Now we even fight more because I didn't do that and that thing right. And I said, but I've done this and this, and why haven't you done this and that? And now we fight over small little things. And I see it with my relationship with God as well. If I'm trying to do things for Him, we will always fight. God wants relationship with us. Now that I'm having relationship with my wife, I'm not seeking to do things, I'm seeking to know her. Yeah, it's amazing. It's blessed. It's an amazing marriage. Because we get to know one another. And also, I believe that as it represents the church, God wants us to know one another. And there's opposites here that you don't like. And those people, God wants you to love. Because He wants relationship. God wants relationship with Him, and He wants relationship with us. Verse 33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This word love here is agape. It's defined as selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. The word respect is phobio. Phobio. It's where the word phobia comes from. It's translated every time as fear or as afraid. Except here it's translated as reverence or respect. And I'll show you why I believe that this is from God. And Leandri, you're not afraid of Him, are you? It doesn't look like that. You will see now. I really believe this is so beautiful from God. What is agape love? God, Jesus loves the church. Husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church. And we are here to represent that to the world. husbands, that we come to our wives, and if you're going to get married, you are going to unconditionally love your wife because you are one. You're not going to make her afraid of you because we are one. I'm not going to make myself afraid. I'm not going to do things that will frighten me unless it is because I want to get afraid because I'm jumping off things or something like that. That's different. Or I'm playing a game and I want to take out the biggest guy that there is because there's some adrenaline working in me. That is different. In marriage, you don't want to make your wife afraid. 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4-8 says, love is patient, it's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is how men should love their wives. This is how we should love one another. Endure things, bear all things, hopes all things. Know the goodness of God. John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I believe the love of God is to walk in the fullness of the word of God. To walk and become doers of the word of God. To walk in according to this. If we say we love God, we become obedient to this. This is the word of God. And if we say we love Jesus and we're not obedient to this, the love of God has not been fulfilled in us. 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And yeah, I'm just saying, is don't give me hugs. And guys, I don't like hugging much. So excuse me if I'm having an off day and I'm not giving you a hug. I'm not a touchy type person, but I know it's biblical, so I try to do it. But I would rather let you tell me, I'm going to be there Saturday morning, and then you are there. Then giving me a hug and tell me how much you love me and not showing up on Saturday. That's not love to me. That doesn't communicate love to me. We must love in the deeds because that shows love. It's like telling my wife, yes, Lynette, I wanted to bring you flowers, and thinking she'll be excited about that fact. She's only excited when I bring the flowers and I give her the flowers, not because I told her I wanted to do it. Doesn't make sense to you. So for me, we love and we tell people, yes, I want to do this and I'm going to do that. And talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. We must love from where we do things, where we do it, when it comes from our heart. That we don't hug one another. We rather love by demonstrating the love of God to one another. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has got to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And I'm seeing that all of us are taking strain here. We are afraid of getting hurt. We are afraid of getting rejected. We are afraid of being ashamed. And we don't want to put our hearts out there again because someone might trample on us again. And we don't want that to happen. And I believe this is where God is wanting to do a work of healing in our hearts. He wants to restore our hearts, that we will not be afraid of putting our hearts out there, of loving unconditionally. And for the husbands as well, that, you know, I think there's nothing worse for a man if his wife or his girl or someone leaves him for someone else. I can't think there can be anything worse than that for a young person. It's happened to me too many times. That's why I'm walking with so much rejection. But you get terribly hurt when that happens. And our hearts get hardened because of that. And we walk around with fear in our hearts because we don't want to be rejected again. And there's something that we as believers must trust God to come and do a healing, that we will walk in perfect love, because that casts out all fear. Because the fear of God is to love unconditionally. That place where we bear all things, endure all things, hopes all things. Then on the other side is the respect or the fear thing. And what I believe, it's saying that husbands, love your wives unconditionally. Laying down your life for your wife. Remember, we are one. And the wife demonstrates the church respects fear of the Lord. Fear as unto the Lord. I fear you, I demonstrate the fear of God unto you, not because I fear you, but because I fear God, because I know who my God is, and I respect God, because Proverbs 15 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, steadfast love and faithfulness. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. I believe this is the grace and truth principle in the Old Testament already. That it's the truth of God that directs us, that teaches who God is, but it's His grace that have mercy on us. It's the goodness, the love of God that draws us to Him, but it's the fear of God that draws us away from sin. God's goodness draws us. The fear of God wants us to run away, want to run away from sin. And I believe this is where the wife represents that. She's the church, and she represents that to the world, to our children when we have children, then afterwards as well. And I said to Brad, because he was looking at the window the whole time. He was hot, I realized afterwards, but I thought he was going to run. So next time I'm marrying anyone, Nico, yes, my fetch her. If the groom wants to run, you're going to tackle him and bring him back for me. But I said to him, you know, Leandri represents grace, and all the guys will probably agree, he got a gift, because grace is unmerited favor. It's a gift of God. It's something that you get that you don't deserve. And he got something that he didn't deserve. But it's a gift from God. And he will never forget that. And just looking at you two, I'll never forget grace as well when I look at the two of you. Then it continues, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And most of you don't have children here, so I'm not going to put much emphasis on it. But I want to share with you that I must instruct my children to be obedient to God. My children mustn't learn do this. Daniel, tell your Lego up. Daniel, jy moet nou jou Lego optel. Daniel, as jy nie nou jou Lego gaan optel nie, gaan papa jou... My Daniel, ek het nou oor so gepraat. So what do I teach my child? To listen to the 5th, 6th, 7th time. Obedience to God is the first time. I've heard people, this one testimony that someone shared with me, this person did a deal. There was a commission, I think it was something like 20,000 rand. Can't remember the amount, but it was a big amount. I mean, that's my yearly salary. And then she heard this still small voice saying, don't take commission. This person obeyed to that. The next week, they got a different deal that was like 4, 5, 6 times that amount because of obedience. Because God wants to bless us, but God blesses obedience. But we don't listen. We hear this still small voice and we go, I think I heard that, but you don't do it. Because we've not been conditioned as children to listen and to be obedient. And I believe we must disciple one another to become obedient, because we've not been properly discipled by our parents. But this is God's will for us, that we become obedient, because God wants to bless us, but we're not listening. So we respond to the wrong things and we're not getting breakthrough and we don't understand what it's all about. It talks about honor here. It talks about, and just the whole thing about honor. I don't believe we understand honor. We don't understand it, what it is to honor someone. Honoring says that we must honor our father and mother, and you should love your neighbor. So it's something that we do upwards. We honor our parents. We honor God. We love our neighbors as ourselves. But then the husbands in 1 Peter 3 says, honor your wives as the weaker vessel, that your prayers can be heard. So us as husbands, I believe we many times don't get our prayers answered. We're not seeing breakthroughs and miracles in church because we're not getting these principles right of what family is called to do, because there's so much division amongst us. I just want to take you to obedience as well. Revelation 3 verse 19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Hebrews 13 says that God disciplines sons. Hirelings, he doesn't discipline. I discipline because I love you. And, you know, when I give Daniel a hiding, I don't go and I kick him in the face like that. It's controlled. I take him, I explain to him, I give him his hiding, I hug him, I hold him, and I teach him because I love him. Children who don't get disciplined get naughty. And they get like a place where you don't want to speak to them anymore. You start doing this. And then you grow up to be like that. And you become a brat. Because we've not been disciplined properly. We've not been loved properly. And I believe this is where the love of God comes in. Where God disciplines us because he loves us. And when we go through tough times, because we are doing things wrong, God wants us to be holy because he wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. And when we go through tough times, we must rejoice. Thank you, God. That's actually what I must do. I must learn Daniel to say thank you when I... Actually, he does that. Thank you, Papa. Can you feed me? It's beautiful. I love disciplining my children. And they're so sweet afterwards because they come to a stage where they're so rebellious that I'm just looking for a reason to give them a hiding. I just look for anything that I can find. I give them the hiding and then they're amazing for months again after that. It's so amazing. But they have this threshold and I know now it's the time again. So I can use my klaargepraat. How do we disciple our children? How do we disciple one another? How must we be discipled to bear much fruit? John 15. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you should love one another as I have loved you. God is glorified by the fact that we bear much fruit. And because we bear fruit, we prove we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. So I want to train my children. I want to instruct them. I want to disciple them to bear much fruit. As hulle die oom gespoeg het in die gesig, dan gaan hy pak ry. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when they become rebellious, when they are nasty to people, I want to disciple him that he can walk in that place of bearing much fruit. And it's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's faithfulness. You know, guys, faithfulness is so important. If you are faithful with the small things, you'll be faithful in the big things. And this is where Kurt has been really strict with the Bible school assignments. If it's not in, we deduct 10%. Because it's part of discipline, not because we want to be strict. Many people come to us and they're struggling financially, but they don't give in their Bible school assignments. So isn't there a pattern here? Because we don't understand faithfulness. Because faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. I'm faithful. I can be dependent on. We've heard many people saying to us, yeah, I'm called for this thing, and then 2 days later, they're not called for that thing anymore. I believe that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Because God's Spirit will produce faithfulness, that you can depend on that person because they are a person of his word. And we don't have that in the body of Christ. We always have to be very lenient, and when people are late and they say, no, I will come to church, or I'll come to Bible school, and then they don't show up because I don't know what the reason is for anymore. I don't believe that is the fruit of the Spirit. But God wants us to bear much fruit, even where we work. And I shared this morning, that people will know that we are different. We are believers. We are Christians because how we work. If they treat us bad, terribly, we'll do it as unto the Lord. Not because of who that person is. Because that person doesn't pay my salary. God is paying my salary. He's my provider. It's not that person that I'm working for. Are we faithful in the small things? Because God can only promote us when we become faithful. And we're not seeing breakthrough in our lives because we're trusting in man. And I'm going to get to that just now. We're not trusting in God. And then this place where we must keep the commandments of God. And then it says that my joy may be in you. And that your joy may be full. And Brad, you guys really blessed me with your wedding again. I'm not embarrassing you. I can't embarrass Brad. It's impossible. I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, Leandri. But there was a third family, a third believers, and a third people that I don't think were like really like spiritual believers. And that to me was just that what I saw from the unbelievers was just laughter and joy. And, you know, I sometimes go to the gym. And then I see someone like a guy that I've known, and I want to talk to them, and I walk out there and I've been laughing, and I feel. And then sometimes when we hang out with believers, we're like, well, because Jesus died for me. And I don't think He died for me. He raised, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We have so much to be rejoicing over. That the fruit is that place where we light, where people are drawn to us. I really believe God wants palm trees. He wants people to laugh because we, all people are drawn to laughter. We're not drawn to very strict, hard, sad, and strict people. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings joy. The joy of the Lord, that is my strength. And this is just something that I'm trusting God to change in our lives as well. That all of us, and starting with me, Lord, that we can walk in the fullness and the laughter of God. That we can start laughing and joking and loving one another as God had loved us. Because God wants real fruit. Jeremiah 17, I just want to finish with this, says that, because it is a man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in past places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Abram had the promises of God. His wife didn't believe it's going to happen. And she said to him, take my slave, Hagar. And they had a son, and his name was Ishmael. The heritage of Ishmael is the Muslim people. Then God said, this is not what I promised you. The son of promise is with your own wife, the wife that I've given you, the wife of your youth. And then he had a child with her. And that was Isaac. And he's the father of the Jews. And today, the Muslims and the Jews are still fighting because Abram did not wait on the Lord. He did not trust in God. He trusted in man. And he created his own promises worst enemy because he didn't wait on the promises of God. And I really believe this is a place for us to really, and this is tough. I'm talking out of experience because I'm not seeing breakthrough. And I'm getting despondent. I'm getting to a place where I want to quit. And I'm telling you today that, Brad, if you didn't honor me at your wedding, I probably would have walked away. Because I was at such a low in my life. I didn't want to be here anymore. I just wanted to quit completely. And you honored me. And I'm so thankful for that, Brad. Because I could stand, and I said to Lynette the next day, Lynette, I'm so grateful. I'm just so grateful. I'd probably said it 20 times to her because you honored me. You honored me, and I'm thankful for that because I realized why I'm here, because God had called me to be here. And you were obedient to that, because when people speak against you and all these bad things are happening around you, you lose it. And it's easy to say, trust in God and you must have faith in God and all the people have the right answers. But when everything around you doesn't look like it, it's difficult to stand in faith, to believe in faith, to know that God is good. And you want to give in. And I believe many people are here who are at the place where you want to give in. And I just want to say to us today, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the streams and does not fear when heat comes. for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Don't trust in me, I will disappoint you. Trust in God. Your ministry, your calling, does not depend on what I say or do. It depends on who God is. Your future does not depend on who I am or what I say. It's who God is. There's nothing in this world that anyone can do if God is on your side. You know, when Hercules came to me and he said to me, Theo, I believe you have a calling from God. I knew it. But what I had known in my heart, and I didn't want to talk to anyone about it, that I was going to be the pastor here. And I resigned my job, and the net was freaking out. Why are you doing this? We shouldn't be doing this. And there was a stage where they made me the office manager at Stellenbosch, and this is where Kurt and I and Magli became very good friends. And I said to Hercules and Sias and Paul and the guys, I will run Somerset West on the side here. No, you can't do that. Office manager, that will take too much from you. You've been called. And I said, but, you know, I thought to myself, but I'm called for Somerset West. They didn't matter to them. So I said, God, I will be obedient to you. But I believe I had to do. I don't understand what is happening. I will be here. So they asked this one guy to come, and he fades away. They ask another guy to come, he fades away. They ask the third guy to come, he fades away. Now, I'm just on the sideline. I'm running with Somerset West, and I'm organizing the services, and I'm trying to do everything that I can just to get it going. We were in this wall then at night. And then we came to a place where Andries came to me and said to me, Theo, are you ready to take Somerset West? I said, I believe so. I think so. And then he said, okay, we're going to ordain you at the end of the year. You're going to take it. So I'm like, okay, God, thank you, Lord. And I'm so excited. This is not going to happen. And then he comes to me and says, everything changed. It's going to be Paul Creer now. I'm like, oh, no. And Paul Creer was my first cell leader. He's this amazing man of God. I knew he was the best guy for this church, that he was, because he discipled me. I knew he was the best guy. So we went to Skip's house, and I was distraught because I didn't hear God. I missed it completely, and I was crying, and I was devastated. And I prayed, and I felt like a failure. I felt not good, and I just prayed, and I prayed at the fire one night, and I just, in my voice, I just heard God saying to me, Theo, I called you to serve me, and I called you to pray. And, oh God, and I repented, and I came back, and I cut all ties with everything, and I just tried to give everything to Paul. And I'm not understanding, but Paul is like standing looking at me, like, and I'm like, Paul, what's going on? You know, you should do this and this, but I will submit to your leadership. I don't understand what is happening. Sias came to me and he said, "Het jy gehoor?" And I said, "What? We're sending you to Afghanistan." I said, "Praise God, as long as it's not the Maldives, because I go anywhere, but I will not go to the Maldives. I will go anyway." So the next moment I heard Paul resigned, and now I'm the pastor here. And one day I walked up in the mountain, and I just again heard God saying in my heart, "You asked me, and I've given it to you." Because my prayer always used to be, "Father, in the name of Jesus," in Psalm 2 you say, "Ask me for the nations, and I'll give you the ends of the world as your inheritance." And I ask you for Strand, Somerset West, Gordon's Bay. I've prayed that now for many years already. Doesn't matter what anyone says over you. It cannot take away the calling of God on your life. But believe in God, not in man. Many people are disappointed because I've said this and that and it hasn't happened. But it's because you're putting your trust in me. You must put your trust in who God is. God is the one that makes, that moves things. Because verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick," or wicked in the King James. "Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." God is looking for fruit. And you'll start seeing in your If you think you have a calling, you will start seeing in your cell group, it will start multiplying. I know many people in this church, probably most, because they all came from my cell group. They multiplied out of my cell group. I don't know how it worked, but somehow I always fight with people who came to my cell to multiply. How does it work? I don't know. I don't know if I'm an evangelist or a pastor. I don't know what I am. I don't think I'm a pastor, really. But there's fruit. There's fruit, but God brings it. It's not what we do. It's what God does. Because God brings the fruit. And if you feel God has a calling on your life, and I think Kurt said it so well the other day, allow people to see the fruit of God there. Because we can talk a good game, but it's only Niku that plays a good game. Verse 13 says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, and they shall have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. God is the fountain of living water. Come to the fountain of water. Get the water from God and ask Him to heal you. To heal you and you will be healed. To save you and you shall be saved. That because we've been injured, all of us. I've been rejected so many times. I just said the other day, can someone just take those 10 knives out of my back, please? Because it's really starting to hurt me now. Debbie, when I prayed at Bible school, I was just really in the spirit, and the next moment I got this pain here all the way from my back down, and I said, is there someone with a pain like that? And she put up her hand and I prayed. She said she didn't hear even what I was praying, but instantly she was healed. That night I took probably 20 Bernardos. I was so in pain, I couldn't move. I couldn't sleep for days, for weeks. I couldn't sleep. I was in so much pain. Where it came from, I don't know. But the one morning, at intercession, Henny came to pray over me, and as he laid hands on me, I just started crying and crying and crying, and it was like all these burdens of, and all this knives that was like put in my back almost. That's how it felt to me, like that. It was almost like taken out. And when he prayed healing over me, I'm like completely healed again. I'm always ready to take Niku on, but I'm not that brave yet. So. Trust God to heal you. Trust God to restore you. Trust God to heal your heart, that you can be open to be used and to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. That you're not afraid to put yourself out there, because I really believe God wants you to be happy. God wants to bless you. I believe God wants children, because I want children. I want grandchildren already. One of my best friends is a grandfather. Can you believe it? He's my age. We were in this school together. He's a grandfather. That's amazing. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Trust in God. Don't lean on your own understanding. Guys, we can miss it. I can miss it. We need one another. We need to pray together. When I pray and I ask the guys around me, what do you feel? Because I'm not sure. I cannot trust my own feelings. Is this God or is this not God? Many times I'm right. I know I'm right. But I want to test it. I don't want to stand before God and make wrong choices because I was arrogant. I want to be humble before God, because if I miss it, I'm going to be accountable before God. But so are you. And we many times say, God said this, God said that. And it doesn't happen, and it makes us false prophets because we speak too quickly and we're not praying enough. I really believe there's a place where we must be accountable to one another. That we acknowledge God in everything that we do. That we're not wise in our own eyes. Because that will be healing to our flesh and healing to, and refreshment to our bones. Who of you went to the, what was that concert on Thursday night? Casting Crowns? I just heard they shared this scripture, Micah 6 verse 8. This is what the Lord requires, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly before God. I believe if we can get that right, the blessings of God will fall into place. Because I believe God wants to bless us. Now, I just, after this morning, that I realized I just need to share that as well. Ephesians 5, 6, then continues about talking about principalities and powers and evil rulers. And they are, if there is a demon in Kurt, he can repent, he can renounce it, and we can pray over him, and we can command that demon to go in the name of Jesus. But sometimes there are principalities and powers that rule over areas, and they have influence over people. They've spoken about Jezebel, and Marie preached upon that. This thing's main agenda is to break relationships. Many people here have been tempted to leave church because they are being taken out and influenced by this thing. It's not girls have a Jezebel spirit, it's we are being influenced, all of us, by this Ahab or Jezebel or whatever this spirit could be. There's another one that they call the Leviathan, and it's like a snake, and it squashes you and you can't breathe. And it takes out all your strength, but then there's nothing left, because he wants to kill, to steal, kill and destroy. And I believe what God is saying, if we want to overcome this, we must resist it. We don't fight against it. We submit to God and we resist the evil. We focus on the goodness of God. We overcome, because God is a relational God. God is a father and he loves children. And he loves us, and he wants us to have relationship with one another. And if you can just put up that last slide that I did for I got it from the marriage book, and I just saw, if you want to have a good relationship with your wife, those things have been set in the book. But it's also related to God, and it's also related to one another. First, you must trust your partner. If there's no trust in your marriage, you cannot have a good marriage. But we must trust one another. You guys must trust me. If you're not trusting me, your heart will never be in this church. You will always be double-minded in this church. And what I really believe, what the enemy is trying to do, is trying to break trust so that we can be double-minded, that there will not be unity in the church, because the devil wants to prevent us from taking the city for Christ. And we have to resist this, because if there's a storm, you must decide, is this storm a Jonah storm or is this a Jesus storm? Because if this is the Jonah storm, you shouldn't be in this boat. You must be in the sea, because you were meant to go to Nineveh and you're going in the wrong direction. But if this is a Jesus storm, we're standing. We stand together. We pray together. We trust one another. That our intention is to seek God and not to seek our own will. Trust. Intimacy. We must be intimate with one another. Husband and wife, we're not going to speak upon that now. I don't want anyone to blush. With God, worship, praise, spending time in your quiet room, reading the Word, praying, asking God questions, waiting for Him to answer us. With one another, talking, sharing our hearts, build friendships, intimacy, communication. We have to communicate to one another. You know, I'm not going to embarrass you, Delaney, but so I'm not going to mention your name in this, but she came to me the other day, and I was, you know, when someone does this with you like 500 million times, there's a blue mark. You know, I don't know if you've seen that. And when I was in the army, we used to torture people by binding them to a rope, and then we just let water drip on their head, and eventually they scream from the pain because it's terrible. It's very good. You must see it. I'm just joking. It's a way to torture people. But for me, I've been pushing like that quite a lot. And then she came to me and she said to me, you know, I feel God in this. And then, and normally I would have just said, is that what he's saying? No. It would have been one of those. And I got thrown with what she was saying. And I did this to her. And she experienced it as I'm rejecting her. And she was like awkward to me. And she didn't understand why am I awkward to her. And I was, because I was hurt. My heart was pain. When we spoke about it, when he brought, said, oh, that's not what I, oh. And it was, oh, Dis soos weer vriende. We must communicate with one another. We must conflict. If there's conflict, sort it out. Blessed are the peacemakers. Have patience with one another because we make mistakes, guys. I make mistakes. Pray. We must pray together because don't trust in man, trust in God. Don't have anger and tantrums. Tantrums is from India. We must leave it in India. Take the tantrums back to India. Be humble. Resist pride. Compromise your ideas because the fact is you could be wrong. All of us, we all think we are right, but there's a good chance we all can be wrong. Be honest and be transparent. I just want to pray for us. So Father, we just want to bring, Lord God, us as a church before you, Lord. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you incredibly love us, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that we can know that you're a God that wants intimacy, Lord. That wants relationship. That wants to be together as friends, as family. That we can know that you are our Father, Lord. And God, I want to pray, Lord. And Lord, this almost like this 6-year cycle, Lord God, to be broken in the name of Jesus. And God, I want to pray, Lord, that everything that prevents people from meeting their husband or wife to be removed in the name of Jesus, to be taken away, so that we can walk into the calling of God, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, for that unity, Lord. I pray for that agreement between husbands and wives in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for Brad and Leandri's testimony, God. But we call in the other testimonies in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that we will walk in the fullness of who you are. We will walk in the fullness, God, of what you've done for us on the cross. And God, I thank you that there's always hope. Always hope that we can believe because you are a good God. And God, thank you, Lord, that you've given us Abram as an example, Lord. And that we can know if you can do it for Abram, Lord. If you can do it for me, God. If you can do it for many other people, you can do it for us. And I thank you, God, that you are not a respecter of persons, Lord. There's no partiality in you. You don't bless the one and not bless the other person, God. And God, I pray for great faith, Lord. And God, I pray for every person who's straining, who's starting to doubt, Lord. Who there's unbelief wavering in their hearts, God. And they're not sure how it's going to happen. And they know there's unbelief. I just pray, God, by your Spirit, that you'll come and strengthen them now, Lord. That you come and bless them now, Lord God. That you come and touch them in such a beautiful way, Lord. And God, I pray for pictures, Lord. And I pray for prophetic words, Lord, to give hope in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for love, Lord God. I pray for respect and I pray for honor for one another, Lord God. And I pray, God, that we will not trust in man, but we'll trust in you, God, in everything we do, Lord. And that we will acknowledge you in all that we do, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your love, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. And I thank you, God, that you love every person in this church. And I just want to declare, God, I love every person in this church, Lord. And Father, we thank you, God, that Lord, this season finished now, Lord God. This season of not trusting one another, of talking against one another, Lord, of feeling insecure, Lord, of feeling not confident in who we are, Lord, feeling not part of this family, Lord God, that this ends here, Lord. Because, God, we are your children. We are heirs and co-heirs of Jesus Christ, Lord. You have paid the price for us, Lord, on the cross. And God, you say to us, we must pray for our Father who are in heaven. God, that we come together before you because we are the church and you, Christ, is the head of this church. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this church belongs to you. That you are the author and finisher, Lord, of our faith, God. And God, you are building this church, Lord. and the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And Father, as Abram offered Isaac on the altar, I do not give this church to you, Lord. And I thank you, God, for the promises of God that you've given this church. And that we can know, God, that mighty signs will go, Lord, as people proclaim the gospel, Lord. And Father, that our hearts will turn against to you, Jesus, and the purposes of you. And God, I thank you, Lord, that your heart is for the kingdom of God, Lord. That you're saying to us, we must seek first the kingdom of God and not focus and be anxious on our own needs, but to focus on your kingdom, to focus on you. That the kingdom of God will come on this earth, Lord, knowing that you bless because you are a good God, knowing that you reward because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We praise you, we honor you, and we exalt you, Lord, over this place. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we can declare that you are the Lord over the Hallowberg, Lord. You are God over this place, Lord. And God, I thank you for unity in our hearts, Lord, to the purposes of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you want prayer, you're welcome to come forward. For the rest of you, go and have some coffee. And Nicole Ebire. May God bless you.